We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Service and the worship that takes place to kick off the service. So with that said, let's dive into part one of this new series. You asked for it. And as I said, this topic that we're talking about today was one of the most requested topics. It was actually tied for the most requested topic out of all of the different topics that we asked what you wanted to hear about. And it is, drum roll, about stress. And just by show of hands, how many of you guys know what it's like to be stressed out? How many of y'all are stressed out right now? Someone's like, oh my gosh, if I could put both feet up in the air, I would do that. And so today we're just gonna talk about how to deal with stress and how to overcome it and how to deal with it and conquer it per se. And so we're gonna come from Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 36, and I'm gonna read that in just a moment. But just, you know, as we kind of talk about stress, you know, stress is, it's not something that like anybody has to teach us how to do. Like, you know, it's like naturally something that we just do on our own. Like, you know, we stress out about things, if something's going to happen, if something's not going to happen. It's like a natural feeling that we experience when we're encountering like a very vital situation, like good or bad. Like, I remember like going through college and going through undergrad at ODU, like the most stressful time as a student was always the end of the semester, because that is when exams would happen. And if you were struggling in the class especially, like, stress went to a whole nother level, because you're like, this is going to determine whether I could come back next semester or not. This is going to determine whether I take this class over again and spend another $1,000, whatever it is, or not. So the stress really kind of ramps up. Like, even people, like, who are oftentimes, like, I remember, like, going through undergrad, like, even people who had, like, very great grades in classes, like, were, like, ace and everything, they would still be stressed out about the exam. I'm like, why are y'all stressed out? Y'all got an A in the class. I'm stressed out because if I like do bad on this exam, it's gonna drop me to like a B minus or a C. Man, I will die for that in some classes. Like calculus, man, I would slit my wrist for a C. Like I would do that if I could get that good grade. Like that's oftentimes like the thought process that I have, but it's the stress that we kind of feel. And maybe like for you, like you're not a student, but you dealt with these other things that you stressed out about. So like maybe it was like family, or maybe it was jobs or relationships or like finances. Like when you looked at your bank account and you looked at how many bills you had, your bank account did not match the bills. The bills exceeded the bank accounts, right? And so like you're stressing over that and can't really kind of sleep at night. Like you're just up all night just kind of thinking about it. Matter of fact, psychologists kind of have what they call two types of stress. What they call eustress and then distress or de-stress. Eustress is like good stress. Some of you guys are like, well, how can you have good stress? They say like good stress or eustress is like good, healthy, motivating stress. It's like, it's the stress that you get, it's a result of excitement. It's like getting on a roller coaster. For those of you guys who like roller coasters. For those of you guys who don't like roller coasters, you have distress. Like, but for those of you guys who like roller coasters, man, you're pumped up, adrenaline is moving. Like, I remember when I was in youth ministry at our previous church, and we took our kids to Busch Gardens, like, every Friday for the whole summer, and there was this huge ride that had this massive drop called Griffin. And they were talking me down like crazy, like, yo, Pastor Jones, you got to get on this. I'm not getting on nothing. That's a 90-foot drop. It's just not going to happen. So, like, summer after summer, they were working on me, and then the last summer, I was like, I'm going to do it. Y'all, I was more stressed out in that moment than I probably had ever been in my whole entire life. Because now I'm thinking all these thoughts like, man, who gonna take care of my wife and my kid? Like, if this ride don't go the way it's supposed to. Like, what if these air brakes don't work going straight down? And Griffin, just in case you guys have never been on it, like, it's that type of ride where, like, it brings you around all the way up to the top and it pauses you. It holds you at the top where you're, like, looking straight down. Now, that's enough to make you have a heart attack right there. But some of us who are like adrenaline junkies, like, oh yeah, here we go. I've been waiting all day for this. That's eustress. For those of us like me that are like, no, that's distress. Distress is like that unhealthy stress. It's something that you experience when you're dreading something. It's like, man, I don't want to have to go to work because then they're going to they're going to reprimand me for that particular thing that I said that I wasn't supposed to say. Or it's dreading a conversation, a tough conversation that you had to have with somebody. So now you're feeling the weight and the distress of that particular thing. Sometimes the stress we experience is the result of like doing the right thing, and sometimes the stress that we feel is oftentimes the result of doing the wrong thing. Like sometimes we create the stress that we're experiencing, whether it's because of good decisions or because of bad decisions, whether it's like stressed over bills, and some of the bills that we have aren't just like natural bills, some of the bills are just debt. So like we're stressed out. Like American Express is like knocking on the door like, hey, you know you owe us. Visa's like, hey, and they just keep sending notice after notice, and you just kind of ignore it because it's like, I don't want to deal with this, but you're stressed out. All of us have dealt with it. All of us have experienced stress in some capacity because it is a real and a natural feeling. And not only is it a real and natural feeling, it's something that all of us experience, whether you are a Jesus Christ follower, meaning that you're a Christian, you believe in Christ and what he's done for you, or not. Like every person on this planet has dealt with stress in some form. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, he says it like this in 2 Corinthians 1:8. I love what he says. I think we kind of have that scripture up on the screen, but as he's writing this letter to the church of Corinth, he's kind of talking about like how they were in this very, very bleak situation. So he says this: we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. You know what that's called? Stress. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. That's stress, y'all. Matter of fact, later on in the next verse, he begins to talk about, like, we thought we were dead because we were under so much stress. We had so much pressure. We were dealing with so many tough things. And let's just be honest, like, sometimes stress can cause us to feel like that. Like, sometimes stress can kind of bring us to the point where we think we're not going to make it. Like, stress can bring us to the point where we feel like we're just, like, it's over for us. Like, throw the white towel in. Like, it's over for me. Matter of fact, there's this guy in the Bible by the name of Elijah, and he was one of God's major prophets all throughout Scripture in the Old Testament. And Elijah was being pretty much pursued by this woman by the name of Jezebel. And Jezebel, just to kind of make a long story short, she pretty much put a hit out on Elijah. She was like, hey, Elijah, like, that dude right there, that dude who's pretty much speaking in the name of the living God that we don't like, we want you to go kill him. Elijah got wind and got word of this. And the Bible says that Elijah fled, and he fled to a place, and he literally cried out to God and said, God, I can't endure this anymore. Take my life. I don't know if you've ever been to the point in your life where you were so stressed out and you felt so weighted down by something where you literally thought maybe that death was the best solution, that maybe suicide was the best solution, maybe giving up was the best solution. But let me kind of encourage us in this. Guys, you're in good company, because all throughout Scripture, all the people who were following God, who were God's people, who loved the Lord, even in the New Testament in particular, people who were followers of Jesus, they always experienced pressure. Like, sometimes it's easy to kind of think that because, oh, I'm a part of a church, or I go to a church service, and, oh, because I love God and I know God, then I'm not supposed to experience any stress at all. God's supposed to protect me from stress. That's not true. Not one bit. Like, if anything, following Jesus may kind of lead to more stress. I don't mean to, like, discourage you and be like, I don't want to become a Christ follower. No, I'll talk about that in a minute. But oftentimes, because of us pursuing the right thing, what oftentimes happens is the enemy, because we're pursuing the right thing, because he hates the right thing, because he hates God, he begins to throw just a colossal amount of pressure your way to get you to throw in the towel, to get you to fold. So as you kind of survey your life right now, like, is your life stressed out? Like, are you stressed right now? Like, how's your sleeping regimen? Like, are you eating? And oftentimes, like, we have different ways of kind of dealing with stress. And so it's not necessarily, like, the stress that's the problem. It's how we respond to it. It's how we deal with stress. That's the issue. Some resort to drinking. Some try to just drink all their stress away. Some resort to trying to just sleep it away. I just stay in the house all day and just sleep 23 hours out of 24 hours a day. I don't even get out of my pajamas. I'm just depressed. Some people resort to just, like, having, like, unlawful sex, which means sex outside of marriage. Like, I just got to get my mind off this thing. Some people take the approach where I just want to worry it away. I just keep thinking about, like, how is this going to work out? How is this going to actually happen? Some people kind of take maybe a less, you know, dramatic role, but more of a simplistic role, and I just want to do a hobby, so I'll just go, like, sew or something. Or I'll just go wash a car or some play a sport or some work overtime. It's just to kind of, like, drown out the problems and try to work it away. But here's the problem with any of those things. Oftentimes, like, whether they're good or bad, when we begin to place our trust in something other than Jesus to help us deal with our stress, it's always going to lead to more problems. I don't even care if it's the most lighthearted thing. Let me kind of use an example. So, like, I'm an avid gamer. I don't really play video games a whole lot anymore because I'm grown and got a family. I ain't got time for that. Right? But every now and then I kind of go back and like to play NBA 2K because I'm a basketball head. And so, like, for example, if I'm under a lot of stress and if I were just to say, you know what, I'm just gonna go 2K it away. Like, 2K is a video basketball game, just so you guys know. I'm just gonna go ahead and 2K it away. And next thing you know, 8 hours of the day have gone. That's created more problems. Because now kids' diapers haven't gotten changed. My wife is like, why are you still on this couch? So now it's creating more problems. Even though for me, it looks like and feels like a release, no, it's really kind of causing more issues. Because oftentimes, like, we resort to all these different solutions, and there's nothing wrong with having, like, outlets. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. Don't get me wrong, but it's when we place our faith in those things to save us from our stress. That's when we run into an issue. That's when we have a major problem. So I want to go to our main passage of Scripture today, back in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through about 41. So you have this very interesting passage here of Scripture where Jesus himself is experiencing a great amount of stress. And so the writer of Mark himself, he writes here in verse 32 of chapter 14, he says, "And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.'" Then verse 33, he says this, "And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.' And then going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." We'll talk about what that means in a minute. "And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'" I want to let us know that this moment right here, that Jesus is, the writer of this gospel, Mark, captures, he's capturing Jesus' most stressful moment that he ever experienced in his life. Which is good news, because what it shows us is that Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is God's Son, second person in the Trinity, God in flesh, like, Jesus himself, though he is God in the flesh, he was fully human. Which means that I can identify with this dude. Like, Jesus just isn't some guy who just came from heaven, just all, like, you know, like, couldn't identify with our issues, didn't know what it was like to struggle, didn't know what it was like to get hungry, didn't know what it was like to get tired. No. Scripture talks about how Jesus was fully human. And this moment captures a very human moment. I don't know about you guys. Have you ever been in a place like this where you were in agony about your stress? Or in agony about a particular issue that you were dealing with? Because Jesus knows exactly what it feels like. And so what's happening here in this passage is this particular story or this particular time happens immediately following after Jesus had this big grand dinner with his 12 disciples. We kind of know that as the Lord's Supper, or also known in the church world as communion. So immediately after he has this last supper with his disciples, now he begins to retreat or go to this place called Gethsemane to go just spend some time praying to God the Father. And it's interesting because, you know, he doesn't take everybody with him. He only takes a few. He only takes, like, his three closest guys, Peter, James, and John. And so here in the garden, he's dealing with the most stressful moments in his life, which I love, because it means that I have a Savior who can identify with my issues, my stress. Like, he can look at my stuff and say, "Hey, I know what it feels like. I know what it's like to be stressed out. I know what it's like to want to find an exit out of this situation. Hey, I know what it's like to go through tough times." Matter of fact, here's what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. He He's talking about Jesus. And so he says, we do not have a high priest. He's talking about Jesus, because Jesus now becomes our great high priest. He is our great high priest. And that is really kind of the a connection back to the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, God established high priests to make sacrifices on behalf of the sins of the people, because they couldn't do it on their own. And so now what happens is Jesus is a greater high priest in the New Testament, and now he goes to God the Father on our behalf and takes our sins on our behalf. And so he says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Look at this part. He has been tempted in every way just as we are. Do you know what that means? Guys, that there's hope for the stress that you're dealing with right now. Like, there's hope there. So for some of us who came in here just hopeless, like, man, my stress is never going to end. Like, I'm just going to constantly live with this burden. I'm going to constantly live with this issue. No, no, no. There's hope, because Jesus himself has dealt with that. And so going back to Mark chapter 14, notice what it says around verse 33. It says, and he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed. Remember, that's that negative stress. Like, that's that tough, unhealthy stress. And so some of us may be asking, well, how do we know it was kind of really unhealthy? The writer of the Gospel of Luke, which was Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, which we just kind of spent some time walking through, he records this same experience, but then he kind of goes into a little bit more detail about Jesus' experience. I don't have the scripture up, but you can kind of go back around Luke chapter 22, somewhere around there. But it says around that chapter that when Jesus was praying this prayer, because he was under so much agony, he began to sweat blood. That's stress, y'all. That's intense. That's serious. Like, this isn't just some, like, light, trite type stuff. This isn't just like some, oh, my car broke down, what am I going to do? Like, he is stressed to the point where he is sweating blood. Like, intense. Like, doctors call that hemohydrosis, which means, like, he's suffering to the brink where his blood vessels in his skull are, like, literally shattering, and there are perspiring blood. Now, I don't know about y'all. Anybody ever sweated blood when they prayed before? Anybody ever sweated blood when they went through stress? So you know what that means? That your stress is nothing compared to the stress that Jesus dealt with. What that also means is, because that's the case, Jesus can handle your stress too. Now, here's the good news about all this. So some of us are like, so why was Jesus really kind of sweating this whole thing, right? You kind of see the correlation. Like, why was he sweating this? Like, he was sweating this because he was carrying upon himself the weights of what was getting ready to happen. What was the weight? The weight was he was getting ready to go die on the cross on behalf of people who did not deserve his act of grace. That was us. He was carrying the weight of humanity literally on his shoulders. Like, he was getting ready to go to a cross and pay for the sins of the world. That's what scripture talks about. That's heavy, y'all. Tell the person beside you, that's heavy. That's some serious weight. And you thought your bill was heavy? Right? Like, you thought that sickness in your body was heavy? I'm not by all means kind of disqualifying that at all. But guys, Jesus carried something much greater than you and I could ever imagine. He literally carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, on himself. And to make matters worse, in order for this to happen, what he was really dreading, it wasn't just like he was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders and he was going to kind of pay for the sins of the world, but he understood what that meant. That paying for the sins of the world, here's where it gets bad, because oftentimes, like, we kind of just focus on that. The thing that Jesus was so messed up about was, in order for him to make a sacrifice on your behalf and on my behalf, that meant that for a moment he would have to be separated from God the Father. Now, the reason why this is huge is because from all eternity to eternity, he's been with God the Father. But now when he steps into time, steps in earth, on earth, to come and literally die on the cross for our sins. That was the main reason he came. He simply said in Luke 19:10, I came to seek and to save the lost. All of us, apart from God, we are lost. And he now understands that in order for me to take upon the sins of the world, which means now I have to become sin, and the Father despises sin, that means for a moment the Father has to despise me. He's carrying that, y'all. But you know why he did it? He did it for you. He did it for me. I don't know about y'all, that's love. Where you would risk, where you would sacrifice for a moment the greatest relationship you have so you can have more relationships with people. That's serious, y'all. That's why we sang this song just now. Like, holy are you, God? Like, that song is so powerful because of what Jesus did for us. That was the stress that he was enduring, that I'm going to have to experience separation from God. That's why the writer of Hebrews says that we have this high priest. He's empathized with everything. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to go to hell and back, essentially. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to go through tough moments. He knows what it's like to deal with stress. Jesus was distressed. And matter of fact, he says that my soul is very sorrowful. Like, stress doesn't like just affect our physical body, but it kind of affects us on the inside. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever been in a very stressful moment, but for some of us who have, like, you know what it feels like. You know what the experience is like. Like, you don't want to do anything. It's almost like it's paralyzing. It makes it tough to move through life. It makes it tough to go through the daily responsibilities that you and I have. It makes it tough to put on clothes and to feed yourself and to get in the car and to get on the bus or whatever and to go to work. Like, when stress really hits you hard, it becomes very crippling. And Jesus experienced that. That's why he said here that my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. But as we're kind of looking at this whole incident of stress, you may be asking the question, so how did he deal with this? How did Jesus deal with this stressful moment, right? Now, like, conventional wisdom would just be like, hey, here are 10 ways that Jesus dealt with this stress, right? Like, he got his friends together, even though his friends would turn their back on him. He got his friends together. He went to a quiet place. He was on a mountain, right? Like, we can kind of go all those different things, or he had a hobby. Do you know what Jesus did when he had a stressful moment? You know what he did? Like, it's rocket science. You know what he did? He prayed. Oh. What? Guys, this is as best as I got for you. That's all Jesus did. He prayed. He didn't do nothing else. He prayed. Some of us like, that's not deep enough for me. I need 5 steps, Pastor. Guys, this is the only step to handling stress. Now, I can get creative and tell you, like, all these different practical things that you need to do to kind of help you deal with stress, but they're not really going to solve the root issue at the end of the day. Jesus prayed in his most stressful moments. He went to God in prayer, and not only did he do it once, but he did it multiple times in Scripture. Like, in verses 32 through 35, it says they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he says to his disciples, sit here while I what? Pray. Right? Then verse 33, it says, and he took with him Peter and James and John and began to greatly be distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and he prayed. Isn't it interesting? Can you kind of see the pattern? Then in verse 39, like going a little bit further, it says, and again, he went away and prayed. Guys, oh my goodness. Like, he prayed like 3, 4, 5, 6. He prayed so many times here in this moment to help him through this stressful moment in his life. And I think if prayer was what our Lord resorted to to help him during his stressful moment, I think prayer can help us during our most stressful moment too. Like, I think prayer is like still good enough to actually work. He went to God the Father in prayer. I'll say it like this, that prayer is the simplest, deepest, most powerful thing that you can do when under distress. Like, there's nothing wrong with talking to people about what you're going through. There's nothing wrong with, you know, like I said, having a hobby where you just kind of do some things just to kind of, like, you know, get your mind off some stuff. But at the core of it, the only way you can solve the stress problem is by going to God in prayer about it. It's by seeking the Lord about it. That's the only way. That's the only proven way. And if you don't think this is a big deal, and if you don't think this is important, let me ask you this question. What is your immediate response to dealing and experiencing stress? Because oftentimes we'll panic. We'll panic our way through the whole situation, which makes it worse. Or worse, we'll try to perform our way out of distress, which typically leads to strongholds, which typically leads to tougher moments, which typically leads to more pain. Let me kind of help us understand something, family and friends. Don't try to perform your way out of stress. Don't complain your way out of stress. Don't panic your way out of stress. It's not going to help you. Like somebody said, like, worry gets you nowhere. It's like a rocking chair. like, why? It's not solving anything. So now you're going crazy, but now you're driving everybody else around you crazy because you're panicking. Jesus says, how about you pray? I'll say it like this, that our greatest response to stress is to pray. Jesus prayed constantly during his most distressed moment. He made it his top priority in life. And this wasn't just like a one-time thing that Jesus did. Like all throughout scripture, there were many times where Jesus went to God the Father in prayer. That's what he's called us to do. It's to spend time in prayer. We did a whole series on this a few months ago called Pray First, because oftentimes instead of praying first, we panic first or we perform first. Prayer is like the last thing on the totem pole, if it's on the totem pole at all. Say, well, God, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll just pray about it. God is like, how about you come to me first? Prayer is just communicating, just talking to God. And you don't have to pray this whole King James prayer, Lord, Father, if I pray that thou with will endow with me with the graceth to be able to persevereth through my situationeth. What? Like, just be real with God. God, I'm stressed out. I'm struggling right now. Help a brother out. I got more bills than money. My kids driving me crazy. Like, I'm dealing with this thing. I'm dealing with sin. I'm dealing with this. Like, just be real about it. I think he can handle it. Like, I really believe that God is just kind of, you know, just waiting for us just to open up our hearts and just be real with him. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Don't be anxious about anything, brothers and sisters. In other words, don't worry. That's what that word means. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, by what? By what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Like, there was no other solution that Scripture gave all throughout the Bible to deal with anxiety and worry and stressful moments other than seeking the Lord, in particular, through prayer. That's the greatest tool that we have, y'all. Let me ask you something. Like, what was the last time you dealt with a stressful situation? Maybe you're in one right now. Like, how have you handled it? How did you handle it? How much time did you spend praying? How much time did I spend praying? Like, if it was on a scale of 1 to 10, where am I on the prayer scale? Is it more of like a 1.5? 1.799999? Like what is, how much time have I spent in prayer? So here's what Jesus does in his prayer moment. Here's what prayer allows us to do. Because oftentimes we kind of think that, oh, prayer is not really a big deal. Prayer is a huge deal. Prayer is magnificent when it comes to us dealing with the stress of our life. And if any person in here, if you've ever dealt with stress, and if you've ever experienced stress, prayer is your greatest asset because it gives you access in communicating and talking to God. So if you're in a stressful moment right now, I want to encourage you, spend time in prayer about it this week. Because it's in prayer where you get perspective. It's in prayer where you find and see the power of God. It's in prayer where you begin to establish and get practical steps to following and to fulfilling God's will for your life. Like, go to God in prayer. So that person who is stressing you out on your job, pray about them. That thing that you just can't shake that you're stressed out about, pray about it. The thing that you keep worrying about, pray about it. Spend time in prayer about it. So here's what we learned just from Jesus praying in his moment of distress. Here's what we learned about prayer. A few things. Number one is we learned that when we pray, what we do is we acknowledge God's power over our distress. We acknowledge God's power over our distress. Look at verse 36. He says, and going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36 says this. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Notice what Jesus does when he acknowledges God the Father in his prayer. He says, all things are powerful and all things are possible because you are all powerful. What prayer allows you and I to do is it allows us to be able to highlight the sovereign, awesome power of God. Let me just say this, like the end of the story is Jesus goes to the cross, he dies, 3 days, God the Father raises him out of the grave by the power of his Spirit. That's the Cliff Notes version. So let me kind of backtrack us and bring us back to our situation. If the Father can raise the Son from the dead in 3 days, why are you worried about your situation? Like the thing that trips me out as a believer is like, God, why do I trip out about stuff that is light for you. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, why do we stress out about stuff that the Lord is like, you do realize how easy that is for me, right? Oh, and by the way, get my son about the grave. That wasn't hard either. Why are you stressing? Like, why? Why are we fussing? Why are we complaining? Why are we going crazy about it? God's like, hey, I got power over the whole thing. Jesus acknowledges the power of the Father. He says, God, Father, all things are possible for you. And then he has this very real moment. He says, please, if you can, remove this cup. I don't know if you guys have ever been there before when you've dealt with a stressful moment and you've been crying out to God. God, please, get me out of this. Get me out of this situation with this person before I take them out this world. Right? Like, get me out of this moment, please, Lord. In all seriousness, get me out of this moment because I feel like it's going to crush me. I don't feel like I have enough to endure this. I don't feel like I have enough to go through this. The word that Jesus says here, he says, Abba, Father. Abba in Aramaic means Papa or Daddy. So what Jesus is doing is that he's revealing this intimate relationship that he has with God the Father, as Jesus is the Son. Here's the good news. Here's the good news, guys, that if you're a Christ follower, like if you believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the same word that Jesus used for God the Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, Pops, that's the same way you look at God the Father. Pops. That's why, like, when I talk to people about how to pray and people, like, ask questions about, like, how should I pray, I try to get them to go away from just talking about, like, God. Would you just help God? Almighty God? If you don't talk to your daddy, Father, thank you. Dad, thank you for your grace. Because oftentimes we don't look at God as somebody we have a relationship with. We look at God as somebody who doesn't really care a whole lot about us, and he's just sitting in heaven on his throne, just like, hey, I'll throw you a bone every now and then. No, he's our Father, y'all. And the reason why sometimes that's hard for us to process is because we don't have great relationships with our earthly fathers. And so we project that on God the Father. But Jesus shows us here that, hey, if you're in relationship with me, just as the Father is my Father, he also is now your Father. Which means that, hey, if you're in a relationship with God through faith in his Son Jesus, that you have a Father who cares about you. You have a Father that is in control and that he has all power. I'll say it like this, that if I fail to see God's sovereign power over my situation, then I will always be a slave to my situation. Like, if you don't think that God the Father has enough power to overcome and to control the thing that you're going through, you're always going to be a victim and you're always going to be a slave to it. It's always going to control you. But when you begin to look at God, God, you created the heavens and the earth. Like, you created the water that we see. You created that sun that woke me up this morning. You created the stars in the sky. And yet you're my Father. Like, my situation is not that hard. It's not that big in the grand scheme of things. What is a bill compared to a planet? A planet, y'all. A planet. Like, with rings around it. That's, like, red. It has, like, fire coming out. Like, he did that. Do you not think that he can pay your $100 bill that you ain't got enough money for? Do you not think that he can heal that cancer or that sickness in your body? Do you not think that he can restore that relationship? Do you not think that he can bring forth that deliverance, satisfy your needs? Like, guys, we have an awesome God. Here's what Psalm 94, verse 19 says. I love it. He says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. What consolation? Consolation in knowing that he's in control of everything. Your consolation brought me joy. Not my hobby brought me joy. Not my exit strategy. No, your consolation. In other words, the only one who can bring you joy in your situation is the God of your situation. He's the only one who can bring you joy. Here's what another psalm writer says in Psalm 68, verse 19. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. You know what this means? That you're not carrying this thing by yourself. Next verse, it says this. Our God is a God who saves from the sovereign Lord. What does sovereign mean? That he's all powerful, that he's all being, he's all knowing, he's all loving. Comes, that from the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. which means that God has this power to deliver you. Guys, God is powerful. And if you have just a very microscopic, small view of God and a very great perspective of your stress and your situation, you're always going to feel like you're in bondage. Because as long as you look at God as being small, you will always look at yourself as a victim. You will always look at yourself as somebody who can't get through it. But Jesus shows us, hey, in going to God in prayer, we acknowledge God's power. But then lastly, we also affirm God's purpose in our distress. Like, what if I were to tell you that there was a purpose to the stress that you deal with? Some of us wouldn't like that. Why would God let me go through this situation? Why do bad things happen to good people? Like, some of us have said that. What makes you a good person? Like, really? Because you go to church? Because you say hi to people, open the door? That don't make you a good person. Plenty of people do that, and they're not good people. No. That's why scripture says, like, there's no one righteous, no, not one. Right? Outside of Christ, we're not really good. Not at all. Not in God's eyes. But in Christ Jesus, we've been made new. We're righteous before him. The only one who can honestly say, why do bad things happen to good people? Is Jesus himself. But you see, he ain't never say that, though. Like, he was never complaining. God, why you let me do this? Man, this is terrible. Man, Lord, why? Why, God, why? Why? Like, he wasn't complaining. No, he affirmed God's purpose. Notice what he says in verse 36. After he says, remove this cup, oftentimes, like, our prayer stops there. God, just deliver me from this situation. Like, just by show of hands, how many of you guys have prayed a prayer like that? God, just get me out. Please just get me out. Right? I'm almost 100% positive that we stopped there and we didn't do what Jesus did next. Notice what he says. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Oh, man, that's tough right there. Because now what it's saying is, Lord, only you know what's going to happen. Your will is better than mine, and I'm going to trust you with whatever happens. That's faith right there, y'all. That's real, authentic faith. That says, I'm going to trust God even in the most painful, stressful moments of my life. I want to trust him because his will is perfect. Jesus had this eternal perspective of what he was going through. The reason why oftentimes like we don't handle stress well is because we don't have an eternal perspective. Like, we think that our stress is going to last forever. Like, we just think that this is how it's always going to be. Like, this is God's plan for my life. Just that life will suck. Like, that's just kind of the mentality that we have. Woe is me. And we just go through life just bleeding on people because we just have this negative mentality that you know what? It's terrible. It's never going to get any better. There's no hope. There's no resolution. It's always going to be this bad. But Jesus shows us here that by affirming God's will, we realize that God's will is best. Here's what scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. I don't know if y'all have ever felt like that, where you were hard-pressed on every side, where it felt like there was stress on this side, bill over here, problem over here, depression over here, suicidal thoughts over here. Like, you felt like you were surrounded by stress. You felt like every way you turned was pressure. Every way you turned was stress. Every way you turned was just a crazy headache over the things that were going on in your life. We were hard-pressed, but not crushed. Like, it's no accident that the stress hasn't taken you out yet. Perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9 says this, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, right? Here's where it gets good. Verse 16 says this, therefore, we don't lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles, pause. You know what that means? What you and I are going through is light and momentary. But how is the light when my bills come in and my lights get cut off? You talking about light. I ain't got no light. How is it momentary, Pastor, when I've been dealing with this for years? How is it momentary when it seems like this thing has been happening forever? Here's why. They're light and momentary, and these troubles, they are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. What is this eternal glory? The promise that God has made. The promise, not just of like eternity now and experiencing God's goodness now, but in eternity to come. Verse 18 says this. So therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So in other words, he's saying your light and moment, your light troubles, the things that you're going through, they're light and they're momentary. They're nothing compared to what's to come. And I'm not just talking about like when we die and when we go to be with God. No, I'm talking about having an eternal perspective now. Because how you have, when you have an eternal perspective now, it shapes everything else around you. You look at everything completely different. You look at everything completely different compared to how you once perceived it. It has changed your perspective. Because now you don't look at it as something that's just happening to you in an isolated situation, or you don't just look at it as something like that is just forever. No, it's light and it's momentary, because you're focusing not on what is seen, which is temporary, but what is unseen and it's eternal. Like, depending on some of you guys' church background, church experience, like, that's when some of the choir people would say, trouble don't last always. That's like what Paul's saying right there. It's true. It doesn't last always. But as long as we have a perspective that it will, even if the trouble is gone, because we're still a victim in our minds, we've shaped our whole life around that trouble. The Apostle Paul, when he writes his letter to the church of Corinth, he's saying, guys, I don't want you to focus on what is seen. I want you to focus on what is unseen, because that is where you find deliverance. The temporary pain I'm experiencing or enduring falls short of the eternal promise that I'm going to experience. So in other words, this pain that you're experiencing right now, this stress that you're dealing with right now, it's nothing compared to the eternal promise that God has for you. And so what I want to get you to do is I want to get you to shift your focus from your stressful moments in life, and I want to get you to focus on the great promise that God has made for your life. Stop focusing on the stresses of your life. Focus on the promises of God for your life. Let me say it again. Stop focusing on the stresses in your life and focus on God's promises for your life. Let me say it one more time just in case you've missed it. Stop focusing on the stresses in your life. Focus on God's promise for your life, which means when you go to work tomorrow, you don't have to focus on how bad things are. Focus on the promise that God has made you, that He is faithful, that He is for you, not against you, that even when you go to that crazy experience, that He is still with you. That's a great place to clap your hands and say amen, because what that means is that you're not going through this thing by yourself. Have an eternal perspective, y'all. Like, stop going around thinking, woe is me. And so out of this moment, as Jesus is praying, He goes to the Father, and in this moment of prayer, He gets all the strength that He needs to finish His assignment, to go to the cross. Though it was painful, He had to go through some crazy, crazy, torturous moments in these coming moments. But this moment right here fueled Him to endure what was to come. That's why prayer is so important, y'all. That's why it's important for you and I to go seek God right now in the minute, in the moment of our stress, because that is what fuels us in the next season and in the next time of our stress. Stress doesn't excuse me from obedience. It should push me to obedience. Like, it should push me to a place to obey God. That coming out of this moment, God, I am going to be obedient to what You called me to do, no matter what it costs me. Communion with God leads to obedience to God. And I'm going to close with this scripture right here, Hebrews 4. Going back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. I read verse 15 earlier, but I want to read just a few more verses just to encourage us. Here's what it says. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. Verse 15, which we read earlier. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every, who is an ever-present help, has been tempted as we are, yet he is without sin. And verse 16 says this. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Guys, you have access, if you're a follower of Christ, you have access to the throne of grace to get what you need in your time of need. Like, I'm so sick and tired, I don't know about you, but I'm so sick and tired of believing the lies of the enemy where I had to give in to my stress. Like, I'm ready to actually start believing what God has said, that I can go to His throne of grace and get what I need in my time of need. Like, Christians, as followers of Christ, we should be some of the most joyful people that anybody will ever meet. Like, if you go to work tomorrow, like, with a depressed face, we got to come back to ask the question, do you really understand what Jesus did for you? Because if we understand what Christ did for us and we believe that, we should be the most pleasant, positive, life-giving people anybody will ever come across. Man, your situation sucks. I know, but God is good. Man, how did you endure that tough moment? Man, I don't know. It was the grace of God, man. I'm persevering. Like, what are you going to do about this situation that you're enduring right now? I don't know, but I'm trusting God. Like, guys, we should be life-giving in all of our environments. We should handle stress much different than the world does. We should handle stress much different than people around us does. We don't need to go to a bottle. We don't need to go to a club. We don't need to go to a party. We don't need to have sex outside of marriage. We don't need to do any of these type of things to deal with stress. No, we got a Savior who's dealt with stress. And when we rest in Him, we get His peace. That's why Scripture says that the peace that surpasses all understanding will rest in you as you are in Christ Jesus. You got this peace, man. That's why Jesus could go to the cross after this moment, because He sought God the Father. So I'm going to say it like this. Worship team, you guys can come on up. That if you don't trust in Christ, your stressful moment is going to get the best of you. You better believe it. Like, if you don't really put your faith and hope in Jesus, man, stress is going to kick your behind. You ain't going to be able to function right. You're not going to be able to think straight. You're not going to be able to have any type of positive perspective on life. But if you put your faith and trust in Christ and believe that God the Father sent His Son Jesus to be crushed by our stress so we don't have to be crushed by our stress. And when you put your faith and hope in Him, it changes the game. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to lead us in prayer for a moment and ask us this simple question. Very simple question. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you believed in what He's done for you? Scripture says that He was betrayed moments after this very moment where He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was betrayed by Judas. Stressful moment. Scripture then says that He was taken to a court where He was tried unjustly. Talk about injustice, talk about Jesus. Then Scripture then says that He was taken to a wide open area. And because of the charges, the false charges that were really against Him, He was beaten. He was flogged. He was flogged so bad to the point where chunks of skin were literally ripped off His body. Picture that. And to make matters worse, the people who said He would be with Him weren't with Him. That's stress, y'all. That's real stress. And then it didn't stop there, because then He had to, after He's been beaten, after He's had skin ripped off His body, He had to carry a cross mile upon mile to a hill after He's been beaten, after He's been assaulted for something He didn't do. What was He assaulted for? Why did He do this? He did this for us. That should have been us. And then it didn't stop there, because after He carried that cross to that hill called Calvary, they laid the cross down, they laid Him on the cross, and they drove 9-inch nails through each hand. Suffered. Body's under great stress in this moment. And then, to make matters even worse, they stood that cross up in the air high so everybody could see it. Shameful, stressful moments. But on the cross, Jesus, He didn't ask God, get me out of this. You know what He said? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And then after some hours went by, His last words were saying, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. I give You my spirit. Amazing. But the story didn't end there, because in 3 days, just to show that He was all-powerful, just to show that He was sovereign even over our stress and our mess, He got up out of the tomb where they buried Him after His death. And it doesn't stop there, y'all. Because now, He's literally seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father to remind us that he is sovereign over our stress. And so now we can go to God, our Father, in the name of his son, Jesus, and bring to him our stress, bring to him our burdens, bring to him our afflictions, and cry out to him and say, God, I need your help. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Please help me. Help me to endure this. And the promise is that he will. That he will help you endure. That he will help you overcome. Scripture says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Which means I don't have to be conquered by my stress, because Christ has conquered it. And in him, I'm more than a conqueror. So if you're here this morning, you've yet to give Christ your life, you've yet to make a decision to put your faith and trust in what he did for you. He died on the cross for your sins. Scripture says that our sin, we deserve death. But because Christ was so loving, because God the Father was so loving, Christ died on our behalf so we could be in relationship with him. And so if you've yet to make this decision to give Jesus your life, I'm just going to make it very simple for you. I want you just to repeat these words after me. Just say, God, I give you my life this morning. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. And I believe that you raised him from the grave on the third day, that I would have new life. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering for me. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. God, you are sovereign over my stress. And so I give you all of my cares. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, can we put our hands together? Come on, we can do better than that. Hey, as you guys go throughout this week, I want you guys to know that you don't have to stress about anything. I know that's easier said than done, because the temptation is to stress. The temptation is not just to stress, but is to respond to a stressful moment with disobedience, with not trusting God. But know this, that you can cast your cares on him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares, all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And so as you go throughout this week, I'm pretty sure, I'm almost 100% positive that you're going to be able to find something that you can stress about. But I want to encourage you that when you stress and when you experience these moments of stress, don't panic. Don't try to perform your way out of it. Go to God and pray about it. Pray about it. It worked for Jesus. I'm pretty sure it can work for us. Amen. Awesome. Hey, right before we go, right after service, once again, we're having Church 101, where you can find out more about our church and find out more about who we are, our vision, our values, and what we believe, and also have the opportunity to become a part of our church. Also, as you guys walk out, one of the things that we do here at our church is we just respond to what God has done in our lives through Christ Jesus by giving financially. We believe that we're called as believers to share our resources with the local church to be able to fulfill the mission of God, which is to make more disciples. And so you can use that envelope. You can drop it in the bucket as you guys walk out, or you can go online and give online. If this is your first time here, don't worry about giving, because this service is really our gift to you. And we just want you to be welcome and knowing that we thank you and love you for being here. So, hey, let's all stand to our feet and prepare just to go for a moment. And as we stand, just with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give you just a moment to respond to what we have shared. And just in this moment, can you just talk to God and just confess to him, God, I give you my stress. I'm seeking your face. I'm giving you all my issues. I'm not going to worry about stuff. I'm going to do my best not to focus on the temporary, but I'm going to do my best to focus on the eternal, which is you. So I cast all my cares on you. Just talk to him. Give him your stress. Give him your burden. Give him your iniquity. Give him all those things that are weighing you down right now, because he has set you free. Father, we thank you, God, for all you've done. Thank you, God, so much for the grace that you've given us. Thank you for the love that you have poured out on us that has been revealed through your son, Jesus. And we pray that as we go throughout this week, God, that we will focus not on the temporary, not on those lights and momentary troubles, but we will focus on the promise that you have made for us, that you are with us and not against us, that you are sovereign over all things, that you are working all things out for our good, because we love you and are called according to your purpose. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every victorious person said amen.
Closer and closer.